Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hour number two on this rainy Friday here in Nashville. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe. Willie D is out in L.A. with the Predators. They'll take on the Kings tomorrow night. 9:30 puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 8:30. Wild card weekend begins tomorrow afternoon. It'll be the Texans hosting the Bills, and in the nightcap we know. The Titans will be in Foxborough to take on the Patriots. 7:15 kickoff our time. And there's going to be a lot of eyeballs in this market on that game, just like up in the market we're going right now. Matt Chatham, we always enjoy our conversations with him. NESN, The Athletic, and ESPN, he does it all. He covers the Patriots. Matt, how you doing?
Morning, guys. Doing well.
So what is the feel? What's the vibe? I know the Titans were there a couple of years ago in a playoff game, but things have changed since then. What is the vibe right now of this Patriots team?
Well, I think there are two different courts, I guess. You would say publicly with the fan base, I'd say there's a huge chunk of people that are just sort of massive disappointment. You kind of cruise along through the season. You sort of anticipate you're going to be a bye team. You've been, you know, resting at one for a big chunk of the season, then Baltimore passes you, but then you're safely at two. And then it all falls apart on week 17. So I think part of it is the expectations of where they thought they'd be today. They're not. But I would say with the team, the guys I've talked to, it's the one thing about this group that they've always kind of appreciated about Coach Belichick is he kind of treats them essentially the same. He's pretty rough on you, win or lose. It's that sort of, you know, constant expectations. Everything is sort of even keeled, win or lose, whatever's going on. So the fact that they had a massive disappointment, I think it's a place where there's usually not a lot of emotion, good, bad, or otherwise. So I think one of the things that's happening here, because, you know, as a player, you start to think, hey, I might have a bye next week, and you start thinking of family stuff and things you might be able to get done if you have a little nick or scrape or thing you want to rest. Now you don't get to do that. But the issue that it's also a Saturday game and Tennessee has to travel here, I think that really changed things. You know, it'd be one thing to have a massive disappointment and still have a normal work week. I mean, when they got done with a disappointment Sunday afternoon, you have to, like, put it to bed by midnight. You know, you can't even bring it till the next day and watch the film because you have to get quickly into the Titans.
It's weird to talk about struggles on offense, but it has looked real here, especially of late for the Patriots. And they knew a lot of this stuff. I realized that going into the season, and it's why they attempted Antonio Brown and they kept Gordon around. I get that. But, you know, how much concern is there? We know the defense has been solid all year, but even they've looked – a little bit different the last couple of weeks, but how much concern is there about this offense that really doesn't look like they have a down the field threat? Obviously you can't just replace Gronk. That's impossible to do. How much concern is there that this team can score enough points in the playoffs to keep this thing going for a while?
I think if you look at sort of most past seasons where the Patriots have sort of gone to the playoffs, and even in years where it wasn't them and it was someone else, if you can score in the mid-20s and play defense that keeps someone south of the 20, that you're going to win. And I think this has been a Patriots team that offensively has been a mid-20s offense. And I know that's unusual because we're used to seeing them be a 30. You know, a year ago you're talking about the Rams and Chiefs and the Patriots sort of nipping at the heels, and they're typically a high 20s or a low 30s kind of group. And there's been sort of this massive reaction to them no longer being that. But they're still scoring at a clip that wins almost every game in an NFL game if you play even decent defense. So I think it has certainly become a much more relied upon defensive group. It's weird to see the Patriots scoring, you know, 23, 24, 26. But again, you don't really need Herculean efforts defensively to win when you're scoring 23, 24, 26. What's been a little different defensively is just last week where they finally, you know, gave up a dog. You know, they had 27 points. I gave up two final drives, a field goal drive that was most of the length of the field. and then another reset, and then they went the full 75 to get seven with 3:50 to go and a four-point lead. So those two things are massively different. That's outlier stuff for the defensive group, which is really the difference between them winning and losing and being in the position they're in. I think offensively it's mostly just about, you know, not used to them not being a dominant offensive group, but they've actually run the football really well the last month. I mean, they ran it really well last week. They ran it really well 2 weeks prior to that. And that's probably the one thing if they didn't have, you know, if you and I were having this conversation, a month and a half ago, 5-6 weeks ago, that would have been the thing that would be absent. They weren't running the football well. But now that they are, you know, it's just don't throw the pick six. You know, don't have a couple of the unseeded plays that they did have in last week's game where you sort of have, you know, have a touchdown call back. You have a third down conversion where you get 16 yards called back for an operation penalty. I think they look at them as a lot of it self-inflicted. With those gone, you're still looking at a pretty comfortable mid-20s offense that can win, provided they don't, you know, have the bad day on D.
Matt, I was up there in January of 04 when it was, I think, negative 30 with the wind chill. It was probably the coldest environment I've ever been in or experienced. In fact, they sent me up there all week to cover that matchup, and it was just frigid the entire week. It's raining here. It's nasty in Nashville. Look, it's January. It's Foxborough. So what are they expecting for this game Saturday night? I mean, is there supposed to be snow, rain, cold? Yeah. What do they think right now?
No, I think you guys are actually going to be well prepared for this one. If you're getting that kind of weather, that's what we're getting. It's pretty modest. I think temperatures are supposed to be low 40s, so right around 40. Showers are expected throughout, so you're going to get a wet game, you know, 8 to 11 throughout the whole thing. And I think you're getting sort of day rain, too, so we're going to get, you know, the light rain throughout. So the field will be saturated. Patriots had games this year, though. Cleveland was one where it rained throughout. The Dallas game was crazy. It was 15-mile-an-hour winds and just in a, you know, just 33 and 34, just barely above freezing and sideways stuff throughout the entire four quarters. So that was a nightmare. You're not getting that. So, you know, my understanding of what the weather you guys have had throughout the week and in the last several weeks, basically a Nashville winter is kind of what we're getting here now. So you're probably getting kind of lucky. This isn't the snow and real cold stuff, especially not the stuff we've gotten in 04. And I'll tell you a really quick story on that. Vrabes is the one. Mike Vrabel is the one who really kind of led the charge for us on our pregame thing. We had a walkthrough in the stadium the night before that game against Tennessee, and it was at the time one of the coldest games in NFL history. And he came out for a walkthrough out in the stadium with just a t-shirt on and his sweats. And the rest of the linebackers were maybe out there a minute or two before him, and we all had our sweat hoods on and stuff. And he kind of guilted us into taking them off. So we went through that whole hour plus, whatever it was, walkthrough the night before that coldest game, just in t-shirts. And I was miserable Saturday. But by the time Sunday came, I felt pretty good. And I kind of was happy that, you know, we'd kind of gone through that to make Sunday not feel quite as miserable as it otherwise would have felt.
We're talking to Matt Chatham from Nesson and ESPN The Athletic as well. Covers the Patriots, former Patriots. So you bring up Mike Vrabel. You played with him, both linebackers together. You've looked at this for the last 2 years as a head coach of the Tennessee Titans. What have you seen out of him as he has his first forays into being a head coach?
I thought it was non-surprising that he quit. You know, the first couple guys he got have been two good linebackers. You know, he basically comes in-house and gets a BC guy and gets another good inside linebacker, starts to build that side of the ball. But I think also one of the things that you really notice about Mike is his personality and his leadership skills. They're just off the charts. And you hear sort of a lot of the commentary, you know, that has happened with the team is they've had an up and down year, but have got themselves to really, I think, one of the most impressive 5 or 6 game stretches of offense in this league. And that I think was as shocking to me as anything. As I went back to study, I was kind of expecting Mike's, you know, defense to be salty and to be, you know, sort of his MO. And they're good with disruptions, but it's not sort of a complete lockdown group. I think that's probably still part of roster building he's got in mind, but the thing that I've been really impressed with is, you know, once they made the change to Tannehill, this offense has become really dynamic. And Mike was always really good at seeing sort of the inside part of the game and understanding tendencies and, you know, being able to get the most out of whatever was there. So it's been really kind of fun to watch the offense, the flip side of the ball, and what he's put together there. I mean, you talk about the Packers, you'll talk about the Colts or, you know, other even the Seahawks or teams that sort of have more of an offensive MO because of maybe people who know the quarterback better. But production-wise, Tennessee over the last maybe 5-6 weeks has been right there with any of them. And I think that was the eye-opener. That would be an eye-opener for any player studying this team going into this game.
What about Dean Pease and the defense that the Titans have? I mean, for the first half of the season, they were kind of carrying the water for this team before the offense could really get going. Now some injuries have mounted, and they've struggled at times, but you still have to respect Dean Pease and what he's able to do.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was another really smart thing that Mike did when he was putting his staff together. You know, Dean was my coach and Mike's coach, and, you know, just a really solid man who understands sort of, you know, not riding the roller coaster of emotions in a season. He's a good guy to have with you in the bunker, you know, in stormy times. And I think that makes a lot of sense to get a veteran coach like Dean, and he's done a really nice job from the last couple of years. And you mentioned you're going to have injuries. You know, the season may not go exactly as you thought. I mean, that was certainly something as I flipped on the tape with these guys. You know, I knew about, well, from the preseason. You know, we went down there and watched them for the week and then covered the preseason game and everything. And, you know, I expected their defense would be really, really good and was for a big chunk of the season. But you're right that, you know, coming apart to seams sometimes can happen with injuries. But I still feel like they're a really tough one-off. You know, maybe if the Cume stats aren't quite the same, they still can game plan. I know Dean and Mike sitting in a room trying to come up with something can be very effective. So that always helps you respect the other side because you know how that they see things.
With the Patriots, Tom Brady, you know, watching him over the past 6 weeks or so, I just feel like something's different. The arm strength isn't there, and maybe it's father time that's starting to catch up with him. You played with him. You know him. What have you seen over the last few weeks from Tom?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say it's arm strength. Arm strength has been right there. I even looking at that final drive where they went the length of the field last week and scored to put him ahead with 3:53, there's that in cut that hits it about 28 yards or whatever that Tom just put on a rope to Mohamed Sanu. It's like, wow, that was sizzles perfect. Looks like his old self. And actually in last week's game, you had several overthrows, so it was more like just too juiced up. So I would say more issues of sort of a little bit of panic in the pocket has been a sort of coming and going kind of issue where, you know, he's really given up plays on plays early and maybe for self-preservation reasons, for reasons to try to avoid turnovers and things like that. But, you know, when things don't go well, it's throwing the ball away. And I think it's sort of decisions where, you know, he's not working with receivers. He's worked with a ton other than Julian. So there's going to be a lot of these incompletions where the ball's kind of going to a spot the receiver's not at. From the outside, you know, we kind of can't know. Is it the route that's wrong or is it Tom? But I think that's probably been your big story. You'll see a throw and it's a head scratcher and it's not used to the old, you know, is leading him into the route thing or hitting him before he turns or as he turns kind of deal. And I don't know if I put that on Father Time because I think there are those stretches, you know, throughout this season where he'll step up, make a throw, and it zips like it always did, and it's accurate like it always has been. So I think it's more just a matter of the state of the offense than Tom personally. And I think from the physical stuff, pocket movement, how he throws the ball, that stuff's all about the same. It's just they've had to bail on a lot more plays and had a lot of drives where it's just bam, 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 and it didn't look like it normally looked. But I wouldn't put that all on Tom at all.
Last thing quickly, Matt, do you think this is the year that Josh McDaniels takes a head coaching job, or do you think he's going to stay put yet again?
That's a great question. I don't know. I hope that those are the kind of things that get decided next week, and it'll be interesting to see what jobs are left. I don't know how he personally feels about Cleveland. I know he's from Ohio, so maybe he has a soft spot there, but that situation looks like a potential mess. And I would not want to be one of many coaches in a long line that gets fired from that place. So I guess it just depends once he's starting to go through the interview process, what's still out there. And if it's not what he wants, I mean, he's always got a safe place here until that perfect job does come up or it's here years and years from now, I guess, if that's a possibility.
Yep. Good stuff as always, Matt. Really appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
All right, guys, you too. Take care. Thanks.
All right, that is Matt Chatham with Nesson, The Athletic, and ESPN. He does it all covering the Patriots up there. You just heard him tell the story of him playing with Mike Vrabel when the Titans were there back in that January 04, that very, very, very cold game that was nip and tuck all the way to the end. I think the Patriots ended up coming away with a 3-point victory in that one. We'll come back. We'll get a Titans perspective at the bottom of the hour. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Just made the list coming up at noon. Post Malone tickets. Yeah, on the line. Bridgestone Arena, March 4th. Hello. I've got mine. Usually when you travel, something's going to make the list.
Yeah, we have a few. We actually need to talk.
I'm just telling you, one.
I think I know which one you're taking.
I'm going there. Yeah, I'm going to go there.
I think I know which one you're taking because multiple offenses.
Yes, that will be mine. Okay, so you be thinking about another experience.
Mad. We had a few.
We did. So that's coming up at noon. Tell us who or what is on your list. Best one, Post Malone tickets, Bridgestone Arena, March 4th. That's coming up at noon. We'll talk to Terry McCormick at the bottom of the hour, getting you ready for this game tomorrow night. By the way, Florida State is expected. Remember, they hired Mike Norvell as their new coach, their new head coach, and he is expected to hire David Johnson off Jeremy Pruitt's staff. That's according to Bruce Feldman, who is saying that David Johnson, not the running back for the Cardinals, who signed a big fat deal and has sucked since he signed that big fat deal. Not him. He's not retiring and going to Florida State to be a coach.
No.
But the David Johnson currently that's on the Vols staff evidently is going to be leaving. He was an assistant with Norvell at Memphis. And so looks like Johnson, who has spent the last two seasons as an offensive assistant for Jeremy Pruitt, will and then was a wide receiver. Was the wide? He was running backs this year, right?
Yep.
Running backs coach this year. He will be leaving to go to Florida State. Nice win for UT. Look, they were down and out. There's like less than 6 minutes to go, and they're down 22-9.
Unbelievable. And I was just talking to some of the guys here in the hallway about that and how, you know, when you and I, because on Southwest you can watch live TV, so we're watching the game. We get off the plane 22-9, and it looked like that's how it was going to end. And then by the time we got our bags, they were winning 23-22. And I got to hear the last couple minutes on the radio, and Bob Kessling and Tim Priest were were having a field day because it was quite the end. And they go through the recap, and Bob Kessling says, you know, we kind of thought it might be a long night for Tennessee.
Well.
And it was,
it
really
was.
Until the fourth
and
quarter.
And really, things picked up in the second half.
But they had a lead.
It picked up in the third quarter for Indiana.
Yeah.
Because they started.
But the Vols led at halftime 6-3.
Right. But then Indiana really owned the third quarter, and then Tennessee.
Well, Garantano throws.
The second half of the fourth quarter started. They poured it on.
Garantano threw two interceptions. One of them was a pick six. So one was, you know, very costly. And Indiana, you know, scored quickly before that. So. That's where it started to snowball, but as we have it on the TV right here, this is the comeback after the onside kick, and then Eric Gray just motors in. He was named the MVP.
And by the way, how easy did they make the onside kick look? Like, what was Indiana doing?
I don't know. And then
that's a 52-yarder right
there. Yeah, and Indiana misses a field goal.
Well, don't forget, he missed an extra point.
Yep.
He doinked one off the post in the third quarter.
So that would have made it a tie game. So just a crazy look. It's bowl season, and you know we talked to Vince on Monday of just how much this actually matters for Jeremy Pruitt. It was a big win. It was a big win for them, and now they have things that they have to work on. That team still has a long way to go, but to have 8 wins on the year in year number 2, when at some point this year we were having conversations on this show of does he last 2 years? Does he make it? Are they going to make a coaching change after the loss to Georgia State and BYU? But you know
what? They were 2-5,
and they battled back. And you know, maybe look at the strength of schedule, but wins are wins, and they were able to beat the teams they were supposed to beat after those first two losses. And you know, once that happened, they get bowl eligible and end up with a improbable comeback win in the bowl game.
By the way, you know, we were talking about Joe Moorhead being ousted this morning as Mississippi State's head coach. This is exactly where, you know, for people who think that kids shouldn't be able to, you know, they get mad and coaches get mad at the shuffling. Well, you know what? How about those kids that just in this early signing period that just signed up for Mississippi State and Joe Moorhead and his staff?
Yeah, I hate to break it to you. I mean, there are some cases where a kid is going to go because it's the school. You know, there could be legacy or whatever, but you're going to play for the coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ultimately why
coach
you're committed.
Coaches.
Yeah.
And if a staff gets blown out of there, I mean, why should they Why should they be committed? Why should they have to stay? It's ridiculous.
I completely agree. I think they should be allowed to transfer. But
congratulations to Titans punter Brett Kern, who was named All-Pro. And he should be.
Well-deserved. Well-deserved.
That's the real honor, by the way, the All-Pro.
Yeah.
Pro Bowl.
Yep. We know a couple of All-Pros.
Yep. But All-Pro is...
Yeah.
That's your peers, man.
And that's
one
of those...
Recognizing your talents.
That's one of those titles that you keep forever. You keep that, you know, once you achieve that...
All-Pro first team, by the way. He's the best punter in the game.
Yeah, he is.
He's been that way for a while.
He is, and he's been here a long time. I mean, you think about it as the Tennessee Titans, I think they've had two punters. Is that right? Hentrick and... And then Kern? I think Kern was right after him.
AJ was preseason.
Yeah, Trapasso.
Yeah.
And the only reason we remember him is because of the fake...
There's two.
He hit the scoreboard in Jerry's World, and then the fake play in the Hall of Fame game that...
I was there.
Alan Lowry and Jeff Fisher ran.
Against the Bills.
Yep.
Do you know who played for the Bills then?
I do not. Do you know who their
running back was?
Was that Beast Mode?
Yep.
That's right. Marshawn Lynch. Was that his rookie year?
No. No. No, I remember after the game, I was down there around the players and the coaches, and I remember Dave McGinnis going up to Marshawn Lynch and dabbing him and saying, "Man, you are a beast." Those were his exact words.
2007 was his rookie year.
Yeah, he'd been there a couple years.
He's only 33.
Coach Mack said, "You are a
beast."
Beep boop. Beast. You know, he could appreciate what his work, because he's a defensive-minded guy. You know, he knows what it takes to try to slow that guy down or tackle him or bring him down. And I'll never forget that. I was standing right next to Dave McGinnis, who was a coach for the Titans then, and Marshawn Lynch. And I heard that conversation.
Huh.
And I was like, man. Remember, that's early in Marshawn Lynch's career.
Yeah, it was like 2009.
He didn't do much in Buffalo.
No. No, and then
really
he got,
blossomed and took off, obviously, in Seattle.
Right. 2010 is when he got to Seattle.
But let's come back and talk about Adoree Jackson getting back in the lineup, how big that's going to be for the Titans. What do they need to do? What is the keys for success for the Titans tomorrow night in Foxborough? We'll talk to Terry McCormick, who will be going up there covering that game. He's with TitanInsider.com. We'll talk to him next on ESPN 102.5, The Game. South will be represented in the playoffs on Saturday. Texans host the Bills. Titans in New England to take on the Patriots. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, Terry McCormick from TitanInsider.com. He was there with me. In fact, I think we walked into Gillette Stadium together back in January 04 on that very, very, very cold and frigid night. Terry, how you doing?
I'm good. That's the coldest I have ever been in my life.
Thank goodness the press box windows were closed.
Absolutely. Most amazing thing, too, was the fact that the band Boston, you know, More Than a Feeling and all that, was down there playing the national anthem out there on that cold, zero-degree night. I don't know how they could keep their fingers moving.
You know, usually there's always, but you're right, usually there's always, you know, no matter how cold it is, there's going to be a bunch of bozos with their shirts off that they'll show on the Jumbotron. I don't remember that. I think maybe one person... I think they panned throughout the course of the game that actually was dumb enough, maybe, or drunk enough to have their shirt off. But that's when you know it's cold, because usually it doesn't. That's not going to scare, you know, a certain group of people. They're just going to be loud and rowdy and crazy no matter what. I remember that night kind of laughing, because basically everybody who was in the stadium had about seven layers of clothes on.
No, it was amazing, you know, and, you know, also felt for the photographers. You know, Mike Streisinger was there with us shooting pictures, and he was down on the field while we were up in the press box, and I know he had a rough go of it that night.
We talked to him afterwards, yes. He was multiple colors. He looked like a rainbow. He was so cold as he was de-thawing. So what is the key in your mind? What's the key for the Titans to get it done?
I think, you know, they have to do what they do, and maybe, you know, the Patriots are going to scheme to try and take away Derrick Henry and control him. I think, you know, but for the first time in a long, long time, maybe since that game, the Titans that we, you know, referenced with the cold temperatures, the Titans actually have a passing attack that can go in there and do some damage. I think, you know, the Titans always want to run to set up the pass using play action, take shots down the field. This may be a situation where they have to do some of the opposite. They may have to pass early to loosen up the box and set up the run for Derrick Henry later on.
If they were going to – do you, by the way, so one of our questions on pick six is going to be rushing yards for Derrick Henry. 99 or less, 100 to 149, or 150 or more. That's A, B, and C are your choices. Which one would you – how would you answer that?
I would go 99 or less because I think the Patriots are going to make a concerted effort to take that away from the Titans. I think the Titans are still going to try and run the football, but I think the Patriots are going to do their best to take away option number one, and that's going to be the run game with Derrick Henry. So, you know, and here's the thing, though. He doesn't have to get 150 yards for the Titans to be effective. He could have 85 to 90 yards rushing, and I think that would be a good outing, a good effort. That would keep drives going. That would allow them to have some balance with the passing game and things like that. I don't necessarily think he has to run for 150, 200 yards for them to win this game, but he can't have, you know, 20 carries for 50 yards, that sort of thing.
Ryan Tannehill, another question is going to be, will Ryan Tannehill throw an interception? He's done a really good job of not turning the ball over, but I will throw this at you. Of his six interceptions this year, I believe all but one were on the road. I think he threw one here, the first Texans matchup. But most of his interceptions have come on the road. So how would you answer that? What do you think? Does he do a good job of continuing to protect the ball, or do you think New England's stout defense will make force him to make a turnover?
I think he protects the football. I think that's a big key. I think he knows going in. He's played the Patriots many times before when he was in Miami, and he knows that, you know, they're going to try and force a turnover or two from him and get him out of his comfort zone. But I think he's going to have to you know, take care of the football. I say that he does not throw an interception.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, is here with us. When you look at the past 4 years, four straight years now of 9-7, two of those with Mike Mularkey, two of those with Mike Vrabel, we're now going to find out if there's going to be a difference, because Mike Mularkey did get a playoff win on Wild Card Weekend. How important, not only to this season, but to just the overall view of the Titans and the steps they're taking, is this game for Mike Vrabel and John Robinson?
Well, I wrote about this. It's in the Nashville Ledger that, you know, the reason that Mike Vrabel was brought here and the reason that Mike Mularkey was dismissed was to take this team farther than it had been going in the postseason. Even though Mike Mularkey won a game, I think they felt like that he had reached his ceiling and that was as far as they were going to be able to go with him. Now, you know, obviously Vrabel was brought in here to take it to the next level. And in order to take it to the next level in the postseason, you've got to be able to compete with the New England Patriots. You've got to be able to go in there and have a chance to win. And to me, if they go up there, and even if they don't win, if they give a good account of themselves, I think you can say that some progress has been made. You go up there and they get beat 34-12, you know, then you know that progress hasn't been made and it's that they're still, you know, treading the same waters that they were under Mike Mularkey. So I think this is a big game for Mike Vrabel in kind of a statement game in saying, this is how far this franchise has come in my 2 years as the head coach. Yes, the record may be the same, but the truth of the matter is the record's kind of deceiving because they were 2-4 when Marcus Mariota was the starter, and they were headed nowhere. They're 7-3
yep.
since the change to Ryan Tannehill. So to me, the 9-7 this year has a little bit of an asterisk beside it because it's not the same 9-7 as the previous 3 years because you've changed quarterbacks and you've kind of changed the way you do things with the way that Ryan Tannehill's been playing.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Terry. because I think you have to look at it with two different records. Now, A.J. Brown has been the elite receiver the last month, but really all season, over 1,000 yards. But Corey Davis has played well historically against the New England Patriots. How much of a impact do you think he's going to have in this game on Saturday?
I think that one of two guys is going to have to step up big in the passing game, because I think when you look at, you know, the Patriots going back to trying to take things away, they're going to make sure that A.J. Brown is covered on every play, whether that's doubling him or whether that's letting Stephon Gilmore run with him and just go with him wherever he goes. I think that's going to cause the Titans to have to look elsewhere to find plays to be made. And the two guys, in my opinion, that have to give a good account of themselves tomorrow night, Corey Davis, as you mentioned, and Jonnu Smith. Now, the Patriots have had trouble covering tight ends this year. You know, we know that from Titans' past, that used to be a problem for them. It's kind of been solved of late. But the Patriots have had trouble covering tight ends. I look for either Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith or both of those guys to have a pretty big game and have to make a solid contribution and move the chains and get some big plays going if this team is going to win this ball game and advance to the divisional round.
Adoree Jackson is going to be back in the lineup after missing several weeks with an injury. What kind of an impact do you see him having as he returns?
Well, I guess the big question is how close to 100% is he? And I don't think we'll know that till he gets out there and tries to give it a go with that injured foot. You know, the field conditions may not be great because of all the rain and whatnot there in New England. It's going to be a lot of precipitation going on. So, you know, he may not be 100%, but I think if you can get something out of Adoree Jackson, I think it just deepens and strengthens your secondary, because that's been an area of concern ever since Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler went out. Now, you know you're not getting Malcolm Butler back this year, but to get Adoree Jackson back, if he can give you close to what he did before, it does make everybody else's role in the secondary a little easier, because you know that you can trust Adoree Jackson, you know you can trust Logan Ryan, and then between Tremaine Brock, LaShawn Sims, and Ty Smith, you know, you determine the pecking order for who's in the nickel package and the dime package and those sorts of things. And I think that makes everybody a little better, because they've got a little lesser role to have to play, those guys that are down the depth chart that have been having to fill in.
Terry, it's, you know, a nice honor to be elected to the Pro Bowl, but I feel like when a player is named an All-Pro, that definitely pulls a lot of weight. Brett Kern named the first-team All-Pro punter, and Derrick Henry named second-team running back and flex. What does that mean for those guys to have that honor bestowed upon them?
Well, that's an honor that not a lot of people get. You know, that's throughout the whole league. That's, like you said, the Pro Bowl's one thing. You know, they nominate guys, you know, and guys are selected to the Pro Bowl from each conference, and then, you know, guys pull out because they've got a hangnail or something and they don't get to go, and by the time you're down to the fifth alternate, it kind of waters it down. But being all pro, being chosen, that means that you are one of the best, or if not the best, at your position. And I think it's well-deserved for both of those guys. I think when you look at the Titans roster and say who has been their best players, who's been their most consistent and performed excellent this year when called upon, I think Brett Kern's right there at the top of the list, and so is Derrick Henry.
Take Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown out of the equation, and Tannehill, of course. The usual suspects when it comes to the offense having success. Who is somebody that, in your opinion, if you had to choose somebody else that could have a big game? You know, Tajae Sharpe's done that in the past. Remember, Corey Davis broke out against the Patriots. Who would be somebody that could have a breakout game that we wouldn't suspect tomorrow night?
Well, I'm going back to what I said a little earlier. I'm going to go with Jonnu Smith, because the Patriots have had trouble covering tight ends, and Jonnu Smith has shown himself to be a big play guy. It wouldn't shock me if, maybe in not the same way, but maybe if the Patriots get gronked a couple of times by a guy that, you know, is, they're having it done to them instead of them doing it to other teams, by having a tight end make a big play that can help change a game.
All right, good stuff. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you soon. Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year, guys.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. So if you had to answer it outside of Derrick Henry, Tannehill, and A.J. Brown, It's a Jonnu Smith. I think a lot of people would say that.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer.
I do think sometimes in games like this, especially in the playoffs, you get kind of that unsung hero, right? Yeah. Somebody coming out of nowhere that surprises everybody and has a really big game.
I think Corey Davis is going to have a good game too, though. I think he's hungry. All the attention is on A.J. Brown right now. And, you know, as Terry brought up and we talked about, you know, he's played well against the Patriots before. And he, quite frankly, he needs to have a big game. So they need more guys to step up. So I like the answer of Jonnu Smith, but I'd throw Corey Davis in there too.
We will come back and put a bow on hour number two here on this Friday. Right now, though, I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served Middle Tennessee since 1994, and they have more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. Do you have bricks that are cracking? Do you have walls that are bowing? I know I'm talking to a lot of homeowners out there. Doors or windows are sticking. If you've been a homeowner for a long time, you've probably had one of these happen before. Drywall separating, stair step cracks in masonry, mortar joints, chimneys tilting or leaning. Your house may be telling you something. These are signs of something that may be going on, something that needs to be addressed. It's probably something you don't need to just walk away from. If something like this is going on and you see something like this happening to your home, you might want to give the experts a call. That's where USS comes into play. They've got integrity. They've got a reputation that they want to behold, and they do quality work. I've had them come out to my house. I've talked to them. They're going to give you a thorough examination. You know what? They gave me, my house, clean bill of health, which was great news. But you may have something serious going on. They've got free estimates. They're locally owned. They're licensed and insured. These are all important things that you know, you want to be able to trust who you're working with. And as they promise, we guarantee our best. Call USS. That number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or you always can go to their website, usstn.com. How you feeling right now?
Tired.
I know how you're feeling. About 32 hours out from kickoff.
I feel the same that I felt
good,
all week.
You're nervous. You don't like it. You feel great.
I feel good.
What's everybody's feelings right now?
I feel good. I feel the same that I felt Monday. I have not wavered. I believe the Titans go into Foxborough and win.
But you've also picked them all year, and you had them 16-0, so...
I didn't have them 16-0.
You haven't felt bad all year. So.
I had 10-6, I think, was my original prediction.
Then why'd you pick them for 16 weeks and pick
the
six?
The spread, baby. Well, work the spread.
It's true.
They weren't favored in
but
all
is anybody going to go 16-0
and no.
against the spread?
Probably not.
No. Not probably. No. Answer's no.
I put out on Twitter of we're talking Titans and Patriots now, what do you think happens? And I did get a reply from somebody we both know. Titans cover the 5.5.
Yeah, I know where that came from. It'll be 4.5 on ours, by the way.
Yeah,
It's actually gone down a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. How do people feel? I would say probably there's more on the nervous side.
Yeah, I mean,
with a
it's
slight,
still...
Well, no, not... See, there's two different nervous. There's the nervous of anticipation, and like there's a little bit of there is a side that we've been talking about all week that people really believe. It's another thing like a couple years ago. You're nervous probably more for the other reasons because I think everybody viewed the Patriots differently, right?
Right.
Then more the juggernaut. I know that they were just coming fresh off a win in an Arrowhead, but it's still, then it was like the Patriots. Everybody viewed, I mean, I came out and said this on Monday, and I thought, whoo, boy, they're probably going to look at me like I'm crazy. And then I realized starting on Monday's show, that's not crazy. When I said, I thought this was the best matchup you could get.
Yeah. And I definitely think so. I didn't want to go, I mean, you got
to
play whoever.
It's weird to say that out loud.
Right.
Like the Patriots are the best matchup you could get in the playoffs.
But I think
a lot of people, that's the right answer.
Yeah. You'd rather play the Patriots than the Chiefs.
Even though they already beat the Chiefs this year, even though they already own Andy Reid and the Chiefs, even though they've had success at Arrowhead, I feel better about their chances in Foxborough tomorrow night than I would at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Let me read this tweet. Jeff Tuttle on Twitter. Did Cairo Santos save the Titans season? If he doesn't miss four field goals against the Bills and Titans are 3-2 instead of 2-3 at that point, does a 3-2 Vrabel make the quarterback change versus the Broncos? Does a 3-3 Vrabel make the starting quarterback change that a 2-4 Vrabel made for the Chargers game? That's a lot, but that's interesting. I think you have to look at the overall body of work of Mariota through those first six games, and Denver was the final straw. But that is interesting when you're looking at records. So I thought that was something.
Yeah. And look, that's another thing that we really haven't talked about much this week, but probably we should be talking about it a little bit more. I know we've touched on it, but they're not going to just keep scoring nothing but touchdowns, especially in the playoffs. Like, there's going to have to be a big kick.
Yeah.
Is anybody nervous about that? What if he's lining up? What if Joseph's lining up for a 44-yarder?
To win it.
At 10 o'clock at night on Saturday, 10:15
right.
our time, to win it.
And your mind goes...
To push them into a divisional round. You feel good about that?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to. That's what you have. I mean, your mind...
I know, but it's the total unknown, right? We have no clue.
Right, because your mind goes to it's wide right and he misses it. But what if he nails it right down the middle?
Well, just think about everybody. How is everybody going to feel right now in this market? Everybody listen to this right now. I don't know what the conditions. We had Matt Chatham on earlier. It looks like it could be wet.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that cold. 40s is even around 40. That's nothing.
No,
this
but
time
the
of
rain.
Year up there, that's nothing. That's balmy. So really it's not about how cold it is, but it could be windy in Foxborough. But just think about 10:15 Saturday night with, let's say, 18 seconds to go, tie game, or even the Titans are down
you
a
need
point
to tie it.
Or 2 points
or, whatever.
Or three, whatever. This is a monster kick, and Greg Joseph's lining up for a 45-yarder. How will you feel at that moment?
I'd be sweaty.
I don't know how you couldn't be sweaty.
Puckered?
Puckered is a good one. So that means you don't have sweaty is just like, oh my. But puckered is like you really don't feel good.
Yeah, you're nervous.
You're really nervous. Like, does anybody like, hell yeah, all right, Joseph? Boy, he's going to bang this home. Does anybody feel that way?
You're going to have a lot of people.
You may afterwards if he nails it right down the middle, but who's really going to feel that? Like, all right. Watch this.
You're going to have a lot of people sitting in the middle of the floor of their living room holding onto their head.
Be a lot of people, their fingers crossed, and probably praying at that point.
Ryan Porth just sent me this text. This feels a little like Preds Hawks in 2017. Patriots record better than they actually are, but everyone's still picking them. I think that's a fair comparison.
But the Blackhawks were the number one seed.
That's the difference.
The Patriots didn't come in as still the juggernaut in the AFC. They are hosting a wild card weekend. They haven't done that in a decade.
Right.
They've always had this week off. So the Blackhawks were still the cat daddy in the Western Conference. They were the number one seed.
But I think when you look at just history and prestige, that's the comparison. Because nobody gave the Preds a chance and they swept them in that series. And here is the biggest difference too. I think there are a lot of people that are looking at the Titans thinking they're going to win. I mean,
well, even Vegas. I mean, come on. It's the Patriots at home in the playoffs. And that line has been around 4, 4.5, 5, 5.5 it started at. I mean,
right
between
now,
4 and 5 all week,
it's
that's
five,
not a ton of respect for the Patriots.
Some books still have it at 5.5. But I thought I've seen
what
it
was
at
the
4
line when they went up there a couple years ago in the playoffs? It was over a touchdown, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Look, if they're only favored by between 4 and 5, that's not a ton of respect by Vegas.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen the Seattle-Philadelphia line? It opened. Yeah, Philly opened as a one-point favorite. Now it's 1.5 Seattle.
It's been that way up most all week.
Yeah.
It changed immediately.
I mean,
Seattle's been favored the minute it came out.
Right.
Philly was the favorite, and then the Sharks, Willie, that's what he would call them. The sharp money, not shark money. They're going in Southern California, not Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
The sharp money all came in blowing out Seattle.
Right. No, I think Seattle.
Well, we'll find out when you make the pick. All right, we'll come back. Tell us who or what is on your list. We've got Post Malone tickets on the line, but you'll need to participate. You will have to call in. You can't text in your list. You can't tweet in. You can. We'll read them, but you're not going to be eligible to win. You must call in. 615-737-1025. Tell us who's on the list to kick off the third hour. That's next.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.